All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, before we go to, you know, the Elon Musk and
Twitter?
Yeah, I was going to say TikTok.
Oh.
You're getting there. You're getting there. It's not Facebook.
It's Twitter, Earl.
Oh, it's Twitter. So, Sandy, you know the difference between TikTok and Twitter and all that.
I do.
I don't, man. I just... Are you on TikTok or any of those things? No, come on. You're not. You can't be a TikTok.
Have I looked at them? Sure, TikTok has got some interesting, you know, they've got amusing things on TikTok.
I've seen your dance videos out there, Sandy. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not on TikTok, no.
So you know, Facebook, I'm on Parler, by the way.
Parler.
That's a conservative site that they created a year ago because they thought that Facebook was preventing them from saying and doing whatever it is they wanted to, the Trumpites.
Ah.
So I wanted to see what was Parler. So I
Parler. Like a funeral parlor.
Yeah, that's what my wife corrects me when a funeral. So it's Parler.
Yeah.
So I have one of those. And I don't think I ever followed up on it. I just, at the time that conservatives were all running over there, I decided just to see what was being said. And my.
Outlandish.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where it gets to, Sandy, where people say, and there's freedom of speech.
Well, you know, we were talking about this off the air a little bit. I think what you have to do is you have to look at freedom of speech. And freedom of speech, for instance, allows someone to put down a soapbox in Central Park, stand up on top of it, and say anything.
Right.
Okay? And they're free to say anything, and they can try and get a crowd around them, and they can try and affect the opinion of that crowd around them. And you can do this any place. I could go out on the corner right out here and start telling people and talking to people and telling them things. And, you know, if I don't, you know, the freedom of speech is broad. Now, the issue developed when we had these large social media like Facebook, where it became apparent that what someone said on Facebook was readily available to millions of people, and those millions of people, by repeating it, created something that was different than the repetition of someone repeating something that someone said in Central Park. The ability to spread that to millions of people was not immediate and was not even possible. So the impact of these platforms was different than what the freedom of speech concept was built around. And so as 2016 comes along and there's a belief that Facebook was exploited during the campaign by people who wanted to bend public opinion, and they did it with half-truths and non-truths and conspiracy theories and what have you. And so there was a hue and cry like, hey, we've got to do something about this. But doing something about it is a very hairy kind of a concept. If you believe in the freedom of speech and you're an American Civil Liberties Union kind of a person, can you really restrict what's said on a platform simply because it's said to so many people? It would be like restricting what's said on television, right? Television can be said to millions of people. And, you know, the FCC did have certain kinds of restrictions on what could be said on television. But the pattern of speech, the content of the speech was pretty free and open. So it's a very hairy problem. It's not one that's easy to digest. And some people are asking, well, if Elon Musk gets Twitter, is this platform, this one in which 242 letters or whatever it is that are allowed to be used in a tweet, can be the content of it can be restricted? And, you know, there has been a hue and cry, and there was about, for instance, Donald Trump, who was banned from Twitter,
right,
based on the notion that he was using Twitter to be misleading or otherwise falling out of bounds of the rules for the bulletin board, which is what it is. It's a bulletin board where people can put up little short post-it notes that they want people to read. I think of Twitter as a site for post-it notes. And what can you put on the post-it note? So it isn't very hard to create a platform, at least not technologically. And if Elon Musk decides to impose restrictions on his on the Twitter that he now owns personally that become unpopular or unsatisfactory, somebody can set up a competitor. So he does have competition to police him. And since it isn't run by the government, it isn't subject to the same freedom of speech concepts that the government is subject to. The government has to support and cannot restrict free speech. But you can tell me what to say on the radio. You, Earl, can. I'm on your show, and you can restrict what I say on your show. I don't have freedom of speech in that regard. But the government can't impose any restrictions on us. And so that's where it gets hairy with these.
But the FCC, which is the government, can.
Well, the FCC has very limited extent to which it can. It can police the obscenities that we might use, and not a lot else.
Not content. You know, so is it much ado about nothing? This conversation. You know, the answer is always. Not to stifle speech, but to have more free speech. So let's say if you've got a hate group who is, hiding out and using the platform.
Yeah.
The answer is create an anti-hate group to debate the hate group.
Well, I don't know. I'm not troubled by Facebook itself deciding to police its bulletin board. It would be as if the Lutheran Church has a bulletin board out in front of it, and it comes out and it finds that some neo-Nazi group has decided to stick things up on that bulletin board.
Right.
Well, they're free to take that stuff down. It's not a government bulletin board. It's not one that is open to the public to use. It's the Lutheran Church's bulletin board. And same with Facebook. Facebook is not, until the government would decide that they're a common carrier for information, Facebook is free to police itself and what it says. Similarly, Fox News is free to police itself in terms of what it decides to put on the show, right? Same with MSNBC. And so it's just when we get into the government playing in the game of what should be permitted speech, we're just into a hairy question.
Because in the long run, people...
Well, permitted or required speech.
Right.
Okay? Should a church be required to allow everyone to say anything they want? Well, no. Should a school be required to? Well, is it a public or private school? Now we get a different question.
So is it then that people are, whatever that post-it thing that you are talking about, fictional post-it thing, it's either if you like it, fine. If you don't, you don't have to read it. Is that?
Well, that's sure. That has to do with whether you should care about what's posted on Twitter.
Right.
But we were talking about should we care about what Twitter allows to be posted on Twitter? Because Twitter might, under one man's rule, he might decide what kind of content he wants to allow on Twitter. So maybe that means that some other, I don't know what it would call itself, linker or something else, would come up to, if he starts imposing too much restriction, you'll end up with some version of Parler, or whatever it is that needs to be set up by some group that feels offended by the restrictions. So I just think speech and free speech is a government issue, and when you get into private media, then what's required to be allowed as speech or what's restricted as speech is a matter of public taste and it's a matter of the marketplace.
So Sandy, let's get into this. And actually, it's the real reason Congress gets nothing done. You got any ideas of the real reasons why?
Yeah, it's because we talk about this kind of stuff. It's because they get all wound up in their sacks about the LGBTQ kinds of issues and things that people have little or no business spending all their time thinking about.
Yeah.
And we have much more interest and need to spend our time thinking about really important things. And to be honest with you, it has a little bit to do with things like Ukraine, which take all of our attention away from making America a better place to live.
So this is Robert Reich, and his question is, why doesn't Congress get anything done? And his response is, well, one chamber actually does. Hundreds of bills have been passed by the House of Representatives but have been blocked from ever getting a vote in the Senate. Bills like the Freedom to Vote Act, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, the Equality Act, background checks for gun sales, reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act, the Protecting the Rights to Organize Act, the Build Back Better Act, the list goes on and on and on. So why aren't these crucial bills getting a vote in the Senate?
Well, I mean, the Senate has these rules. It has the cloture rule that requires 60 votes, not 50 votes, to get something passed. And so that it makes it a clog right there. And the whole intention of that is to make it harder and less possible to pass lots of changes, right? So it's kind of a status quo protection rule. And that's a problem. Another thing
AKA
is that,
the filibuster.
Yeah, the filibuster. It basically the 60 vote thing was set up so that people didn't actually have to bother to stand up and bore the rest of their fellow senators by talking endlessly. They would simply say that essentially I'm going to filibuster, and they say, well, you don't need to filibuster. We'll just make a 60 vote requirement for this bill. The other thing is that it is a bit easier to pass a bill that you know isn't going to pass ultimately, so you can pass things that are done declaratively.
And it says, look, we are doing something the House perspective.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those things are very meaningful and could be important things to pass. But why is it that the Senate is allowed to tie things up that way? And I think it has a lot to do with the American public's willingness to focus on everything but the stuff that really matters.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Fridays. That means Sandy Williams is in the studio. We'll be back.